This podcast is recorded on the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We'd like to acknowledge their elders, past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge that colonization and genocide are ongoing processes that still continue in this country to this day. This always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
Welcome to the Snack Pod. We're the official podcast of the Ozpol Shitposting Facebook group. We've got a special episode for you this week. Not following our usual format, we've got a very special guest, Tom Tanaki, noted anti-racist, creator of Million Flag Patriot, and most recently Yelling at Racist Dogs or Yard, a Facebook page where people film themselves yelling hilarious abuse at famous racists and post it and get lots of likes and make the racists feel really embarrassed. So yeah, he does good work and we're really excited to have him on the show.
We're also announcing this week that we're launching our Patreon. We have spent a reasonable amount of money on this show, which we're happy to do because we like making it, but we have to upgrade to a paid podcast hosting website now, and it's going to cost us between $15 and $20 a month, and so we're trying to get those costs covered. So if you enjoy the show, if you enjoy the memes, if you enjoy the Ozpol Shitposting Facebook page, it would be really lovely if you could hop on there. Even for as little as a dollar a month is going to make such a big difference to how sustainable this show is.
Yeah, if we can just get 20 people to put in a buck a month, like that'll cover our costs and that'll be sweet. That's pretty much what we're shooting for at this stage. So yeah, thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoy this special episode. Hey, welcome to Ozpol Snackpod, the podcast where we usually bring you bite-sized chunks of Australian news, politics, and memes. I'm Zach Lesnack. I'm a mod on the Ozpol Shitposting Facebook group.
And I'm Noon, aka Ino Funkenstein. I'm the admin of the Facebook group.
And we've got a very special guest with us this week. You want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name's Tom Tanaki. I talk shit online. I've been doing that for several years. Long may I continue to do so into the future. Thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for coming on the show. First ever interview.
Fuck,
very exciting times.
Yeah, you're amazing at it already. You've got so much air to me, you know. You're bringing out the best in me. I love it, you know. Thank you.
That's what it's all about.
So Tom, you're an anti-fascist and general lefty on the internet. So do you want to tell us a little bit about Yard?
Yeah, sure. So I started Yard with Sean Bedlam and a few others in late 2017. And to situate, I guess, where Yard came about, yelling at racist dogs for anyone who doesn't know, by the way, we were noticing that there was a shift in I guess, how the far right were organising in Australia. And to me, the most important thing is that if what they're doing changes, you should be changing as well.
Makes sense.
You know, we don't have the backing and the money and the resources of these people, but we do have the energy and the ideas if we let them, you know, run the show. And to me, ideas and energy is king. You know, like that's where I'll go, where the new ideas are. And I had been doing myself, Million Flag Patriots, up until I think it was midway through 2017, and that was a fake satirical patriot group, and that all made sense when everyone was out at rallies in flag capes looking like fucking gooses, but geese. I always say gooses.
Gooses works.
It sounds better. Gooses, yeah. Sounds better when you're talking about fucking idiots, yeah, rather than, we're not talking about the actual animal here. Just like yelling at racist dogs isn't talking about actual fucking dogs.
Yeah. No offense to either geese or dogs.
That's right. But I don't want to talk about fucking speciesism today. It's not my, you know, I am a speciesist. But it's not dogs, it's racist dogs. Anyway, so up until mid-2017, I was doing Million Flag Patriots, but didn't make sense really anymore because, the whole rally presentations, flag capes, all that, was dying off and it was being replaced by rock star racists. Milo Yiannopoulos, December 2017, Nigel Farage.
Lauren Southern.
Stefan Molyneux.
Yeah. People being booked to come here as rock star, alt-right racist type.
Professional assholes, basically.
Yeah. That was a shift up a socioeconomic tier in how, I guess, organised racism was presenting
itself. That's a really disturbing way of putting it. I hate that.
You know, people were suddenly able to be punters and they were paying copious amounts of money to eat fucking chops for tea with Lawrence Southern. You know?
Yeah, that adds this whole level of legitimacy to it. Like, no, I've bought a ticket. I'm sitting down in an auditorium with all these other well-dressed people. It's not a few fuckheads in singlets at the park. You know, I don't rub shoulders with the great unwashed.
Yeah. So, yep, yeah. Yeah. To gross. Me, I liked looking at the difference between, say, the True Blue crew of 2015-16, most notably, and then... and then, say, the Proud Boys, who became a thing after that. Well, to me, you know, True Blue crew blokes were, you know, a lot of them were pretty broke, disaffected fucking people. Proud Boys, you know, they were fighting because a lot of them, because that's what they had always fucking done. Whereas Proud Boys were the type of people who go and pay for personal training sessions to learn how to kickbox so that they can punch an antifa at a rally because they've got the fucking spare income.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure some of them would go, no, you know, I'm broke and disaffected too. But they just it had more money and they were able to pay for a VIP meet and greet ticket with someone. And as I say, organised racism had shifted. It had shifted in its presentation. And, you know, I think Yard was a way to capitalise. I mean, you know, on that shift, you know, so much of what's rejuvenated the far right over the past however many years has been this whole anti-PC thing. It's an anti-intellectualist campaign, yeah? But by the time you're paying hundreds of dollars to eat chops with Milo Yiannopoulos and we're the ones outside in the cold, you know, yelling and screaming hilarious abuse at you, you're the ones that look like the elite. Yep. And we look like a common bloke. And that was what happened at the start of Yard. That's why Yard came about out of Milo Yiannopoulos' thing. And it was and yelling at racist dogs is exactly that. It says what it is on the packet. It is yelling at racist dogs.
And thank you for the yells. There's been so many classic hits over the years. Keep coming back to the RV yells, the Blair yells.
Yep.
The Lawrence Southern yell was... The line, all your fans are incels that want to smell your shampoo.
Yeah, yeah. That's my favourite yell. That's my favourite individual yell. That is what even briefly led to Yard being put in the mouths of the alt-right the world over. It was a very funny few days that followed. And we're actually, because people are very beholden to the way that some of those big names in the alt-right broadcast their message, they really love content in which, you know, there's a hysterical social justice warrior who's triggered and is...
fucking snowflakes.
Yeah, that's right. Snowflakes being snowflakes. And that's the kind of content they need. It's always goes viral for them. So on the face of it, we've given them exactly that. But, you know, that was a yardie over in Adelaide. And she called me up at the time. She said, I'm standing in front of Lawrence Southern. She's come outside because there was no big protest outside there. So her security detail had said safe to go out there and trigger lefties. So we said, well, we'll go up and act like a disappointed parent and go, you know, you're a racist dog, aren't you? You know, why are you such a racist dog? You know, disappointed? Because you can't just go up and start yelling at someone.
Sure, you've got to build up to it.
Yeah, just weird. You know, five of you there, what are you going to do? You start screaming, that's just weird. And we were like, well, then just escalate it gradually into screaming abuse. So that's exactly what she did. And then, you know, in the resultant video that Lauren Southern shared that followed, they were all saying, oh, this is, you're so triggered. This couldn't possibly have been part of your game plan. We're a group called Yelling at Racist Dogs, and she was yelling at her that she was a racist dog. It's very simple. It's very simple, and I've always loved the simplicity of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I've got a question which I feel like your answer is going to be no, but maybe you can expand on it a little bit more. There's this like enlightened centrist kind of like mainstream progressive idea that the best way to deal with Nazis or fascists or racists is to just ignore them, don't give them the time of day, and that by yelling or trying to get them deplatformed or whatever, that is actually, you know, playing into their hands or whatever.
Yeah.
What do you say to people who say that?
No! Right, and then I walk away. I just throw the mic down and I fucking walk away. You? And their minds are immediately changed by the way. You know, the force with which I said the word no.
Yeah, well, you treat them like you would treat a Nazi. Just disengage, deprive of oxygen, walk away.
Yeah. You know, I'll be honest, cards on the table. In 2015, when Reclaim started popping off, I was a relatively, yeah, I've always been anti-racist, I think, you know, to a degree, but I think I was part of that comfortable, what I would now, you know, what you've just described as centrist, I'll just ignore them and they'll go away brigade. Because that's what I thought it would die with, a whimper and not a bang. It actually kind of did once they deleted all their Facebook pages, but, you know, that's because they, only because they lost their organising ability and ability to foment that kind of angry froth. But it took me 6 months to realise, well, no, they're obviously not going away, are they? You know, the, it's very hard to ignore them because they're very big. I mean, you know, they were getting 2,000 people to a fucking rally in Bendigo. That's pretty hard to ignore, you know?
And getting, like, mainstream media attention and being legitimised by, you know, Channel 7 and Channel 9 as well.
Yeah, yeah. So legitimised, you know, there were elements of the media working very closely with them. Because,
so fucked.
Yeah, I understand. I think I've Blair Cottrell or what have you. You know, I understand what they're doing. I don't agree with it, but I understand. Mm. Like, you know, the divisive messaging of a Blair Cottrell. Hey, it fucking works for them. Why, you know what I mean? It works for them to create, you know, and vilify a subsection of society. So if you have this externalized force, this big thug, attempted murderer, arsonist guy who's like, you know, who's trying to organize a grassroots movement that reflects all of that, well, I mean, you get, they get to actually externalize and to shift some of the responsibility that lies on the media for creating those situations by going, oh, no, it's not our fault. It's the fault of big Blair Cottrell over there, you know? So I understand why they did it, you know? But anyway, I mean, after a few months of me seeing that they're not going away, I started getting involved. But I started getting involved in ways that I thought weren't existing, you know, weren't existing at the time. You know, fun, smart ass, participatory forms of I guess you would say, you know, non-violent direct action kind of work, you know. There was an article written. I think it was written by Helen Razor. She's changed her tune since then. But, you know, at that time, at the time of Milo Yiannopoulos, she wrote an article about how just ignore them and they'll go away. Yeah. That was 2 years in. They weren't fucking going anywhere. It was pretty obvious by that point they weren't going
anywhere. I'm surprised to hear that she said that, to be honest. But
she adjusted since then. I'm pretty sure that, you know, she, because, you know, very much part of the left, and she's had direct conversations with other activists about this, and she sort of realised, you know, but she's not the only one. I just recall that because that was the start of Yard, and that was when we were very neck deep in organising and getting out there. So, you know, I was very keenly aware at that time of the voices that were, you know, the mainstream voices or what have you, or the left voices that were saying just ignore them and they'll go away. It doesn't, it's very easy to say that, I guess, if you're not, if you don't really know just how nasty and targeted and well-funded these forces are. I think it actually denies fascists agency, or the alt-right or whatever you want to call them, agency, which is a ridiculous thing to do, to say ignore them and they'll go away. Why would they go away?
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe part of the logic is that it's a, like, by analogy with left-wing campaigns or whatever, everyone that I've been involved with is just, like, pushing shit uphill until you give up. And when people ignore you, you want to give up sooner.
Yeah.
But these organized racists are, like, true believers.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not giving up.
That's it.
Yeah.
And they have their own ecosystem, and it's grown very big and fertile. And, yeah, sure, some of the reason it's grown so big and fertile has been off the power of triggering lefties and the currency that creates, a social currency for them. But Neil doesn't need – Neil Erickson, for example, or what have you, doesn't need me to – validate him or ignore him. What he needs, he, you know, say 2016-17, he was in this like race for patriotic supremacy against the other far right talking head figures. He's looking for a bigger slice of that pie. They've already got the fucking pie. We aren't in a position to give that or deny that to them. Yeah. They're not like kids just looking for our fucking attention. They've got all the reason in the world to do this. The far right thing has been trying to monetize for years and has done so very successfully over in America, not so successfully in here. But, you know, now we've got CPAC here.
Yeah.
In a year or two, you're going to see the next rise of this generation of well-funded grifters, you know.
Yep.
And they're all fucking grifters. And, yeah, sure, we can do things that augment their martyr status, like, you know, Andy Ngo over in Portland can bait all day until someone smacks him in the face and then he gets $100,000 from a GoFundMe. Well, that wasn't – all that took was him fucking baiting all day until someone lost their cool with him. But he didn't get the money from lefties. He got it all from his own fan base, and that brought a right fan base, you know. Yeah.
And, look, I don't know. Exactly. It's like – no, I don't think very, very many people are seeing someone get hit in the head with a milkshake and being like, oh, fuck, hate to see it. Probably have to be a Nazi now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not exactly sure that's how the radicalization takes place.
Yeah.
It's not happening out in sort of these super public arenas like that. I mean, obviously, it helps when you've got mainstream figures or, you know, by Australian standards, like Blair Cottrell going on Hack on ABC or being profiled on fucking Channel 7 or whatever.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that's definitely not helping. But I think that you kind of it's happening in these quieter online spaces that are more I don't know what the word is, maybe introverted or not as visible to the outside world. And I find this kind of interesting because you were saying how you sort of evolved your tactics from the Million Flag Patriots.
Yeah.
When the kind of big, when the True Blue crew and the UPF were kind of, you know, and the Patriot movement was ascending, then when you have these sort of, you know, VIP racists, these tourist racists coming out, you change the tactics and the Yard was born.
Yeah.
And I feel that the trend over the last couple of years that we've started to see has been this kind of white supremacist extremism that is starting to explode into bursts of violence all over the world.
Man.
And, you know, that, I feel like that's another evolution again. And I wonder, do you have an idea of what might be next for the anti-fascist movement? How can we kind of evolve to combat that stuff? You know, these image boards like 8chan where people are being radicalized. You know, it's hard to know how to respond to that kind of thing.
Yeah, dude.
And, yeah, I wonder if, yeah, I don't know if you have any kind of idea of how we might evolve in order to kind of combat that stuff.
Yeah, I think we just give up. Yeah. I think just find other hobbies, pottery, gardening.
Yeah, I was going to say, garden has been, ever since I started the podcast, it's started getting very overgrown. Maybe it needs a bit more attention.
Maybe you need to do some clipping, yeah. Personally, I'm increasingly interested in the role that the media plays in fomenting these situations. Part of what I think about this proliferation, particularly in America, of these people who want to go out, you know, that they sit online and they don't actually have that real life manifesting space like the Patriot Movement did with rallies and what have you. They're just going batshit off the back of these fucking conspiracy theories and this lunatic alternate worldview online until their first IRL manifestation of their cooked beliefs is them going out and killing or attempting to kill a whole bunch of people. You know, part of me wonders if that's the effect, you know, that's one of the flow-on effects of years of media mainstream media creating that pipeline for people to get into that world. Remember, I mean, you know, if you're in America and you turn on Fox News, you're not hearing content that's that radically fucking different to what they say on 4chan. Or you know, 8chan or what have you. Tucker Carlson in America is saying the same shit. Yeah. The white genocide, the white replacement, all that stuff, it's all being aired out there, you know? And they create those circumstances. Imagine if you were being so fucking bamboozled by this alternate worldview for so many years until you're at the point where you exist and absorb information solely from those sources online. That's the world. To you, that's the world as you see it. And, I want to talk more about the role that the mainstream media plays in this and to think about what can be done in terms of I guess, you know, making them more accountable. And when I say making them more accountable, I mean, even it could just be in terms of, it could be in terms of a protest movement, but it could also be just in terms of talking about it. I mean, you know, we talked before, you know, we've got CPAC has just started up here with their you know, and the funding that will come with CPAC's presentations in Australia for the next generation of alt-right grifters means that we are by no means at the end of, you know, protest movements from the alt-right in the future. Yeah, in a year or two, they'll be doing a whole new thing, you know, off the back of that additional wave of funding. But we need to be there to talk about the mainstream media creating the tune that the white supremacists then just fucking dance to, you know? Like, think about that St Kilda rally. That started out with one or two, I think it was A Current Affair or Today Tonight specials. You know, they did an exclusive about Sudanese kids having a fight with fucking Vietnamese people in St Albans, and they did another one about them having fights with people on St Kilda Beach. They created the circumstance, and then all that fucking Neil Erickson and Blair Cottrell did was leap on that and replicate their message, not for profit, mind you, but just for attention. All they did was, you know, just use the viral momentum that the media had started to create a rally, because they didn't have an active movement at that point. It was created for them, that circumstances, by the media. And then the media get to start reporting on them. Oh, these evil nationalists are creating this rally. No, 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 you created the fucking circumstances. They just dance to your tune. And I want to talk about the media's role in those things more and more as time goes by. The next manifestation of Blair Cottrell can get fucked. I know what they're going to do. They're going to do the opportunist thing where they just say whatever seems to be the most viral thing. It could be trans people next. It could be, you know, who knows? It could be the fucking Mongolians coming to kidnap your daughters. You know what I mean? Like, I
same grift every time, just different, you know, paint job.
Fucking oath. A fundamental opportunism. The opportunism is born off of copying whatever the media has started.
So do you have ideas about how we might respond to shitty media who platform fascists and promote them?
Well, I'd like to identify those outlets.
Yep.
I'd like to specifically talk about the journos and the outlets more and more. I'd like to, I mean, we've seen protest movements that have taken place. You remember in the wake of one of the last big rounds of Apex reporting, some Sudanese kids organised protests outside Channel 7. I'd like to be doing that kind of thing.
Fuck yeah.
And I guess placing that emphasis and that focus on the media outlets that fucking start this shit, as opposed to the white supremacy. I mean, we, you know, we don't ignore that shit, and if they're going to be in the streets, then we're going to fucking be there too.
For sure.
But I'd like to point the shine the spotlight on where I think the blame truly lies. The people that make fucking money off of it.
Yep.
Because maybe Blair Cottrell did make money out of donations to his fucking Westpac account, you know? Yeah, like...
Not anymore.
There was a significant donation made, as I understand it, at the outset of the UPF from American white supremacists. I recall some other patriots talking about that, you know? Yeah, there's money in it for them, but there's more money in it for Channel 7, you know? And that's why there's money in it for them, you know?
This is maybe like a... Not the point that you were trying to make there, but I guess I'm interested in the connection between the Australian far right and the international far right. And, I mean, obviously the rock star racists are one very visible aspect of that, but the funding is a much less visible one. And I know, for example, we have a chapter of the Hammerheads in Australia, who's like an international Nazi gang. Could you tell us a little bit about how...
To me, the most interesting funding aspect comes from the far right grifter type talking heads and the money that they've been able to receive in the past. I mean, I know at one point RV Yemeni, as I understand it, was receiving a fucking monthly stipend of thousands of dollars a month.
From whom?
From the same people that paid Tommy Robinson.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the same people. Mm. And this is through his connections from the what do they call it? ALA, the Australian Liberty Alliance. Mm. Some of the Debbie, oh, I can't remember what her name is, Debbie something or other. She's connected to certain people in America. But that's why Harvey went over to the US. Yeah. He got in touch with the right people, and they started paying him copious amounts of money. And that's why I ended up linked up with Tommy Robbins in the UK doing all those things, you know.
Totally. What I find so fucking funny about that is that, you know, these people are kind of peddling this global Jewish conspiracy theory, which is a fucking garbage. But there is actually like an international fucking fascist Nazi conspiracy with these people like sending money to these little Nazi, like seeding these Nazi groups all around the world. It's just like, I don't know, the fucking hypocrisy.
This is the thing. Yeah, I'm constantly told this shit about Soros, which I'm just so
oh my God.
I'm so over
it.
Like, I don't even repeat the joke. Soros shit. It's just so old and tired. But I know it has its root in the conspiracy theories that are bandied about by the far right. Where's my shadowy fucking financier?
Yeah, damn straight, yeah.
I work two fucking jobs and I do all the shit that I do online and in real life. I have no spare time at all, and I still don't do as good a job of my lefty foghorning as I would like, because I don't have the time, because I'm working two fucking jobs. Every one of these motherfuckers that I have stood up against, or, you know, been part of movements that have stood up against, Avi Yemeni, Neil Blair, the fucking lot of them, they have all, at one point or another, had a shadowy financier. Where's my shadowy financier?
I think it's really unfair. I'm a leftist and Jewish, and I just don't see a cent of this leftist Jewish funding.
And
look, I just want to shout out, if there are any shadowy organizations listening to this podcast, we are very happy to receive your dodgy money.
I want so many lefty shadowy financiers. Where are you? Where the fuck are you?
Just speaking about Jews, and I mean, hopefully we won't talk about Judaism so much, but like Avi Yemini is a Jewish, Israeli, Zionist, racist.
Yeah.
And there's a whole lot of other far-right Nazis who hate Jews. And,
yes. That's a big fault line in their movement. And
yeah.
That's where like figures like Avi Yemini are divisive for that movement, because they can't get over their hatred of their old, you know, studied fascist traditional hatred of Jews. It's not something I think, you know, you need to get people completely loaded up to the fucking neck on insane conspiracy theories before they start thinking about the Jewish question as anything but some lunatic fascist idea from 70 years ago. You know what I mean? It's got no, you know, I mean, we can talk about the state of Israel, but they're not doing that. They're talking about their deep hatred for
absolutely
the Jewish rights.
Yeah,
you know?
And I mean, so often, like, especially, I guess, mainstream conservative right-wing people tend to love Israel because they're the closest thing to white people in the Middle East. But
I want to talk about Israel-Palestine. I want to talk about it. I want to do a video, you know? But if people see that it's a video about that, they're going to, these days, they're going to think that it's on some Jewish question shit. And that's why these fucking fascist motherfuckers are a walking distraction from real things. I can't talk about that stuff because I fucking look like one of them. And they sideline and divert the real question off of ultra-Zionism and what's happened to the people of Palestine. I can't, you know, it's not a party you can come to, because these fucking swastika dickheads have gate crashed it and run it over.
And like major mainstream politicians in the States as well, they love conflating anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism as the same thing, and that we're seeing this, you know, as the, we don't talk about US politics on this podcast, or we try not to, but, you know, obviously the squad with AOC and Ilhan Omar and stuff getting all these accusations of anti-Semitism because they're like, no, we just don't agree with massive human rights abuses.
The state of Israel and what that state does versus Jewish people, that clear delineation. People weaponize the blurring the boundaries between those two, you know, like in America, Republicans do it. And there's such a conversation to be had about the cooked amount of money that ultra-Zionist state has, you know, and the amount of influence it has in this state of America. But again, so hard to talk about.
Yeah.
It's been made harder to talk about by the people that will weaponize the term anti-Semitism, you know, to include criticisms of the state of Israel. It's fucked, you know. It's a real shame.
A great example of like mainstream politicians and mainstream media actually being kind of the fanning these flames, or even being the point of genesis for these ideas. Not necessarily even those far right extremists being the one to kind of come up with this stuff. That it's like, you know, these are mainstream messages that are then being amplified by these fucking wackos.
But it's just the difficulty in terms of talking about the stuff. But, you know, it's made difficult because of the people with the lunatic racist conspiracy theories that override that and turn it into some Jewish question shit. I mean, really, for us anti-fascists, we should see it pretty clearly, though, and I think a lot of us do, you know, hopefully anyway, that we stand against oppressive fascist states, you know, yeah. and their expressions of, you know, like attempted genocide and what have you around the world. Yeah, that includes Israel. It includes a lot of states, actually. So, yeah, includes the fascist expressions of this fucking country, and we're pretty good at it. We're pretty good at it in America,
world leaders,
too. Yeah, we're great. We're really good at that, guys. Yeah.
Yeah, always nice to get a shout-out from Trump about our immigration policies.
Yeah, it made me feel really proud to be Australian.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Love
it. Seeing where these true blue boys are coming from now.
Yeah, yeah. Made me feel validated.
So we've kind of come to the end of our time here. Is there anything that you want to plug?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yelling at Racist Dogs, just as bad. It's from September the 12th to the 20th. We've sold about almost three quarters of those tickets already. Those puppies are going quick. It is a live show. It's part of the Melbourne Fringe Festival. People keep asking me, what the fuck is it? Are you going to be just screaming at each other, at people? Will you bring in live racists in cages to yell at?
You should do that. If that's not part of the show, that you should bring that in.
That's it. Yeah, you may have. The reason that there's no street-based patriot movement at the moment is because we kidnapped them all. And they're all in cages, and we've been waiting for the right time to do a live show. So we're going to haul them all out in cages, and everyone can spit on them, piss on them, and call them horrible words. Now, look, but people ask a lot about
what's worth the price of admission, for sure.
That's right. That's right. It's a fucking bargain. Yeah. But no, but people ask a lot of questions about what it is. We don't give them answers. You're just going to have to come along and see. But please do. It'll be a cracker of a night. We're working on it hard. We're working our fucking asses off. And it'll be a good one. Please come along.
Thanks so much for coming on the show and for all the work you do. Yard is great and Million Flag Patriots was great. I still refer to people as Quarter Patriots. And, you know, you've really
true.
Had
he says that shit all the time.
You've made a mark on the left in Australia, and I think you should be really proud of what you do. So thank you so much.
Fuck yeah.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure being on here. Cheers.
Awesome.